is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it is the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Terminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, wrestling fans, it's that time weekend, it's time for The Final Count. And this week, as my guest, I am joined by the Jekyll Lawrence Spiral. And the Jekyll Lawrence Spiral, you may have seen him on GTS Wrestling or LTW on YouTube. As well as, he is out of the New Jersey area. Yes, he will be joining me in just a few moments, right here on The Final Count. But right now, I want to talk about just two pieces of news. One is a more somber piece of news, which I will lead into in just a moment. But the first piece of news is AEW star has reportedly departed the company. According to PW Insider, Brian Pillman Jr. has departed AEW. The report also notes that his deal will not be renewed. It was further said that the door remains open for Pillman and AEW to possibly work together again in the future. It's noted that in the report, they reached out to Pillman Jr. For comment and confirmation. As of this writing, Pillman Jr. has not commented on or confirmed his departure. It should be noted that AEW has been removed from his has removed him from their roster page. Yeah, it looks like Brian Pillman Jr. has departed AEW, and so that's a huge piece of news right there. And then the second piece of news is regarding, and I hate this, like I legit hate this. It's sad anytime something like this happens. So the wrestling world recently had another passing, and that is that former WWE star Darren Draws passed away just recently, and so we're gonna do a 10 bell salute in honor of Draws before we get into the interview and before we go into our podcast platform spots and then our spot for collar and elbow, and we just want to do the 10 bell salute in honor of Draws. And again, I want to thank you all before we go into this 10 bell salute, before we honor Draws, I want to thank you all for your support. Thank you for all your likes, your comments, your listens, all that good stuff, and following us on our different social media, all that good stuff. But right now, I want to first and foremost honor Draws and his passing, honor the life and memories of Draws.
Thank you.
can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar thefinalcountky. Also, I mentioned we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to ColinElbowBrand.com and use the promo code Final Count KY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Colin Elbow, but you will also be supporting the Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Colin Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out ColinElbowBrand.com. Use the promo code FinalCountKY. That's in all caps. And save yourself 10% at checkout. And tell them the Final Count sent you. And say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on ColinElbowBrand.com, with more on Colin Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connects emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
Art fans, I'm joined now with the Jekyll, Lawrence Spiral. How you doing, Lawrence?
I'm okay. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Thank you for joining me on the Final Count this week.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Big fan of yours. As I've told you before we started recording, when I reached out to you, that I'm a big fan of yours from watching you on GTS Wrestling. And so we'll get into a little bit of GTS here in a little bit, but we're going to go ahead and start from the beginning. When did you decide to get into the pro wrestling business?
I've always been a fan since I was about 4 years old. But I got into the wrestling business around 2010. So I've been wrestling for 13 years.
All right. Now, who were some of your, inspirations in the wrestling business? Did you watch as a kid, or?
I watched as a kid. I would say my top three, Ken Shamrock, Steve Blackman, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Awesome. Great top three right there. Who were you trained by, initially?
I was trained by multiple trainers. I was trained by Brian Idol, a.k.a. Mercurio from NWA, Joe Acasio from NWA, Kurt Reaver, Ken Scampion, Dan Barry, Matt Stryker, and A.R. Fox.
Oh, nice. So you got a great training right there, it sounds like. Do you remember, going back, do you remember your first match? And if so, what was that like? Everyone's first match is so interesting usually.
My first match that they put me in was a battle royal. That was just a typical battle royal, but my first ever singles match, I was under a different character back then. I was underneath the mask where I did straight Lucha Libre, and I went up against a guy named Nightmare, and it wasn't one of my best matches, but, it was my first match, and it was all right. Definitely looking back at it, I wish that I would have probably trained a little bit more before I had that match, but my trainer was like, you're ready? maybe I was, maybe I wasn't, but, yeah.
There you go, yeah. Like, I know everyone's usually their first match is always, like, really, like, it's an interesting story, and, like, a lot of people do have that battle royal as their first match. You know, maybe it's, you know, you were a part of the promotion and they needed you to fill in for someone that, or they needed you to fill in as part of the battle royal, or it's always an interesting story to hear people's first match. While we're talking about matches, if you could pick three matches that you have had thus far in your wrestling career as your top favorites, what matches would you pick?
Number three would be versus my trainer Joe Ocasio at SPW in Queens for the Gen X title. He was originally told that he was supposed to just squash me, and he went into the back and he told the promoter, no, I will not squash him, I want to have an actual match with him. And he gave me one of my hardest hitting, one of my if you know who Joe Ocasio is, if you watch him on Beyond Wrestling Open, anywhere, that guy brings such intensity, and that's what he brought out of me in that match, but man, did I have to work for it. let's see, number two, would probably be in LTW, the hardcore match that it was myself, Jeremiah Triggs, and Bonifer. That match definitely, because I also did train Jeremiah Triggs, so it was very cool to, you know, face one of my students on a live show. And then number one would have to be the death match between me and Bonifer. That was, it definitely brought me out of my element, and now I also do death match. And honestly, Bonifer's a really great guy, complete psychopath, but really great guy. All the guys in LCW are like that. If you want me to go ahead and, like, list another three, maybe, like, or, like, even another one, let's say from GTS, even, that would probably be, I like being in the Ford in the Fridge match, honestly. I love ladder matches. Cage matches, they're okay, too, but I really like ladder matches because you get to do so much crazy things with it. It makes me feel like I'm getting party.
Right, there you go. I like how you had those matches, like, you had them, like, in the order that you wanted them. Like, I love that. And Bonifer, yeah, he's such a, like, hard-hitting dude. Like, I like that he got you into, like, working death matches. That's pretty awesome right there. For someone who has never seen you wrestle or heard of you, how would you describe who Lauren Spiral is?
Lauren Spiral, and this is how I'm going to say it to you and to everybody that's listening, Lauren Spiral is not a gimmick. Lauren Spiral is me. I am an actual schizophrenic. I do have another personality. Lawrence is his own person. And whenever I wrestle, I get to actually show people that I can control it. And some people would refer to me as Jekyll and Hyde. Jekyll would be, you know, the nice one, you know, shaking everybody's hand. And then once Hyde is awoken, that's Lawrence coming out. And that's him showing everybody, I'm here as well. So Lawrence likes to refer to me and him as us. So I always like to tell people that you'll especially find something that'll fit you. Mine was that it's me. I don't play a gimmick. I'm myself. I'm a nice guy. Cross me. Once you cross me, then I'm not so nice.
Yeah, there you have it. Like, you know, and that's the thing. So many people in wrestling, so many wrestlers that they're just playing a gimmick. Well, like you said, it's you. You know, that's not a gimmick, it's you. And that's what wrestling lacks is realism in a lot of cases, you know. For sure. Can you talk about your match at LTW against Tony Chini and best of two of three falls match where you went on to win the LTW Light Heavyweight Championship?
Oh, that was such a great match. Me and Tony, that's another guy that's really, really good in the ring. That match was definitely, how would I put that match? Definitely something that was definitely grabbing the fans' attention. because I can tell that a lot of people that were at that show have never seen a 2 out of 3 falls. So when they saw the first fall, they were like, oh, is it over? And then we kept on going. And if you, like, if a lot of people will go back and watch that match, you will see just how much Tony Chaney puts his effort to beat me. And then I end up just being able to hit one move and keeping him down. But that one move kept him down, and it led me to win my, that was the second time that I won the LCW Light Heavyweight Championship. And, honestly, that match, if I can go back and do it again, I definitely would, because, you know what, Tony Chaney is a guy who really doesn't get a lot of recollection. A lot of, you know, like, that guy should be on TV, honestly, for the amount of work that he does, and people look past him or whatever. That guy's literally on the Wrestle Code. That guy's traveling all around. Give him a shot.
I completely agree. Like, Tony Chaney is, yeah, he is definitely one of those top names out there that is undiscovered and unsigned. And I believe he will be one of these days for sure. Can you talk about your match against Heartthrob Riley Daniels, where you defended your RBW Real Brutal Wrestling Championship in a street fight at Oktoberfest 2020?
Oh man, Riley Daniels and me we are actually very close friends. We started in wrestling together. We traveled together. That match, he came up to me, and I still remember our match was originally supposed to be just a regular singles match. We were supposed to just go out there, you know, just have regular fun. And he's like, you know what, man? It's Halloween. I want to have some fun. Let's do a street fight. And I was like, all right. And I was like, I'm thinking, all right, you know, maybe like a couple of hard shots. He goes, no, I want to use weapons. And the one thing I remember that match is I took my shoe off, both of them, and gave me a move onto Legos. When people say, when you're walking through the night, you're half asleep, when you step on a Lego, is the worst pain in the world, and they're right. I'm gonna step on thumbtacks before I step on another Lego. He put me through that. He laughed at me when we got in the back. He was like, I'm back, girl. I was like, yeah, how does your head feel? I remember how I beat him. I clapped his head together with those pants. And he said his head was ringing still, but me and him, we go out there, we're so comfortable together that me and him can literally punch each other in the face and we'll hug each other after the match.
That is awesome. I love that. I love street fights, and so that was really going and watching that on YouTube. That was really awesome. What does it mean to you when a promotion has put their championship on you, making you the face of their company or promotion?
Honestly, it's a very big deal. There are some people in this business who will just demand the titles. How I was taught, you have to earn it. So once I actually do get to hold the championship, I feel like I earned it. I feel like they trust in me just as much as I trust in them. I would have my opponent, even in the promotion. I will carry those belts anywhere I go. I will ask promoters, can I walk out with that belt? If they say no, then it's no. Whenever I open up my gear bag and they see all the belts that I have, they don't just stay home. They come with me wherever I go, because I'm showing people that these promotions deserve to be there, whatever, they deserve to be shown. You know, that's just how I am, and I really do appreciate all the promoters that have given me a shot, have given me titles. But what my main thing I like to do with titles is I love to defend them, and I love for people to take them from me if they earned them. You have to earn it, just like how I earned it. When you get in the ring and they go, okay, you have a shot at Spiral, can you beat him? And they go, I think you can. I'll walk up to you. I'll shake your hand. I'll be like, you know what? Show me what you got. Let me see if you deserve it. And if you deserve it, I will lay down. 1, 2, 3, get up. I will give you a hug. If I feel you don't deserve it, then you know what? Keep trying.
I like that. That's a great answer. I love it. Yeah, because, like, you know, so many people feel, like you said, they feel entitled to it. They go and they ask for it. Like, you earn it. Go and earn it. You know, put in the work. Go and do the shows. Go up and down the roads. Do the shows. Put in the work and earn it. A great answer right there. How did your time in GTS come to be?
I actually actually got into GTS by Ace Marksman. Ace Marksman hit me up. One day I was living in New York, and he gives me a call, and he goes, Lawrence, do you want to come down to GTS? And I was like, are you sure? He goes, yeah, man, I want you to come down, you know, meet Grim, show what you got, or whatever. And I went there, and I still remember that day. It was freezing cold out. There was still snow on the ground, and I was out there. I showed Grim what I got, and after that, Grim was like, you know what, man, keep coming down. And then eventually me and my wife decided, hey, let's move to Jersey, and now I'm even closer.
That's awesome, and I love seeing you all on there. I became such fans of y'all. We'll get into the war that's been going on GTS in a little bit, but first I want to talk to you about something that happened recently when you won the Food in the Fridge briefcase in that ladder match. Talk about that match and what that was like.
That match definitely was different because the competitors in there were kind of just like how I felt. They were kind of like just thrown in there besides, you know, Grim being in there. Yay. That was always fun. And, I don't know, but I felt like when I reached up and I grabbed that briefcase, I was like, this is awesome. Whatever, I'm gonna have my shot. And then you saw what happened. Then you saw Kurt Bale literally take me out. But there was always something that was planned. And I'm glad that my wife was able to then capture the GTS legendary, whatever the heck Grim called it. I'm just gonna call it the legendary title. Whatever. But you know what? I had actually heard that Food in the Fridge is, what, isn't that coming up again soon?
I believe so, yes.
So, who knows, maybe I might climb that ladder and win Food in the Fridge again, and this time I will make sure that my back isn't turned. My back will be up against the wall, because if I get another shot at whatever title I want, I hope it's not against Grim, because I don't want to face Grim. I want to go against somebody better than Grim, better than Dua. Give me somebody. Give me, you know who I would want?
Who's that?
Took me out. Give Bale back the title and let me beat Bale.
I'd love, for one, I'd love to see that happen. You beat Bale, yes, for sure. Kurt Bale needs to just go away. Him and that bad company, yeah.
Oh, you know what, bad company? Him, Jay the Key, when he got Ben Series, and you got Landscaper, and who else? We got Pete Corbis.
Pete.
All great competitors, yes. But they all hide behind Ben Series.
Yeah.
That's why they are so bad. Because when you step in the ring with Ben Series, you want to talk about stepping in the foot with a monster? That guy is a monster.
Oh, yes, definitely. We've seen what he can do for sure. For sure, for sure. And, you know, talking about you went in the food in the fridge and then what happened afterwards, I'm glad that you had a plan B. And I love that here Grim thought he had, you know, he had all this, everything. Oh, Aris, Aris is going to give me it. Aris, me and Aris, we're good. We're best friends, you know. And then I love that Aris cashed in and won the championship. I can't wait for her to get back. I'm wishing her a speedy recovery and pulling for her for sure.
The doctors are saying, for right now, they're saying no surgery, which is a great thing. But they are saying that she probably won't be able to wrestle until January.
So that puts us around Regal Rumble time.
Yep, but you know what? If she comes out, I will guarantee, and I will put it on that, I will guarantee that she will win the Regal Rumble one way or another, and she will get back her championship.
Yeah.
I don't care about that Grim sat there and goes, oh, this is yours. You know, it'll never be defended again. Is that because he's afraid? Is that because he's a coward? Because if everybody watched how he wrestled, I know everybody's sitting there saying that my wife's injury is fake because she's not wearing a sling. And I would love to just point it out to people. It's not fake. I have to sit there with her every night and make sure she's okay, make sure that she takes her medicine, whatever. And you know, Grim escaped the fact that he knew that I would face him. And I don't want the title. because you look grim in the ring. You want to put my wife through pain? I can bring you through a lot worse grim.
There we go.
Whatever. Not saying that women are, you know, not stronger than men. But you know what? My wife isn't as strong as grim. But I know I'm stronger. I'm crazier. And I can do a lot more to him. I don't need a weapon.
This is a great segue right here. Can you talk about your feud you've had with Grimm and then the DF Black and Lime versus DF Black and White? And then, not to throw anything in the pile here, but and you and Eris being on separate DF teams and the decision behind that.
Well, the reason why I joined DF Black and White is because realistically, could anybody see me teaming with Grimm?
Oh, no.
Could anybody really see? Oh, Laura Scarlet and Grimm are friends. No. I cannot sit there and get behind that guy who literally all he does is put himself over for every title. The longest reigning GTS YouTube Wrestling Figures Champion. Because, Grimm, you wrestled people under masks. You wrestled people for 3 minutes. You put yourself over. You went to SWF, had to put yourself over because you claimed the spotlight. That's all he wanted. And it's not like Duhop. Yes, Duhop always won titles, but Duhop was always so, what's the word, so subtle. He was always so welcoming to be like, okay, guys, you know what? Somebody else is going to win the title. Okay, I'll fight back, and you know what, the agent Duhop, blah, 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 blah. And then Duhop sat there and started acting like his brother. Because Grimm got into his head. So the whole Black and Lime, Black and White, honestly, all it is to see who is the better brother. And you know what, honestly, both of them are just horrible. Both of them can't even compare to that Let's Go with Bad Company. They can't compare. And I know that people hate Bale, oh, whatever, yes, he took me out, but you know what, they both can't even step in the ring with Bale. They can't sit there and wrestle Bale without putting themselves over. They can't wrestle Shane, the Key Evans, Pete Corbis, Landscape, or Mid-Series. They cannot hold the grudge to them where those guys don't even have to try. And no, this is not me sitting there saying, oh, now Sparrow's Bad Company, because then you also have somebody in Bad Company that just talks and talks and talks, and that is Isaac Sight. A guy who literally sat there and goes, oh, I turned on Grimm. The only reason why that kid turned on Grimm is because he just wanted to be next to Kurt Bale, just like how he wants to be with Jordan Oliver, Ellis Taylor, and let's see, Charlie Tiger and Griffin McCoy, aka Young Dumb and Broke, because he idolizes people that he knows can help him get to higher, you know, success. But Isaac, put a little work into it. Get a look. The kid comes out forever 21 jeans and goes, I'm cool. You're a good wrestler, kid, but you got no look. So then all I gotta say about the Black and White, Black and Lime, and yes, my wife was on Black and Lime, but there's always a plan. It all comes back to a circle.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because just because I got hurt, doesn't mean that a Spiral didn't get to win the championship. It just goes to show that the top of GTS, the top couple, isn't Grimm and Quarantina. It's Eris and Lawrence Spiral. We are the top because, yes, we're married, yes, Quarantina are married, but it's because we can wrestle better. And we're just too smart for them. They believed, and Grimm believed, oh, Eris is my friend. She won't turn on me. Just like how you were saying that, oh, Eris is going to give me the dodge, she's going to give me the briefcase. Oh, did she, Grimm? No, it's because you believed that she would. Because his brain is like the size of a walnut.
Yeah.
It is crap. He's got nothing. That's why he's going back to what now? I'm seeing on GTS, because I haven't been there as long, so I'm worrying about my wife and not worrying about being in the ring with him. He's going back to the what, the fat bean? Or the fit bean now?
Yeah.
You know what? The only reason why, Grimm, you're going back to the fit bean is because Bray Wyatt is going to be coming back to WWE. and you're just trying to get the ratings up. Get over yourself.
That was a great way to put it. Exactly. He's always, and it gets tiring, to be honest. It gets tiring seeing him putting himself over, giving him the championship all the time. That's garbage when he wants to do that all the time. Who are some of your favorite people to work with, or that you enjoy working with the most?
GCS or LTW?
Just anywhere.
Anywhere? I really like working with, I'll try to give you 10. I really like somewhere, let's go with number 10. I like Jay McKee Evans. He was very fun to wrestle. Number 9, I got Smiley, who's not really, you know, brought up a lot, but the guy that's like a luchador, that he was fun. Let's see, 8. Because now you got me on the spot, so I gotta think, so, you know. He's a newcomer, actually, the Blue Knight. I actually like working with him, because I really like to see how the kid's going. Even though he thinks he's a knight, and there's no knights except for medieval time, but it's okay. I like him. Number 7, number 7, he's a guy from Delta Wrestling Alliance, another company I was for. His name is Vivian Rainricks. He's also been on LTW. Really good guy. Very different in the ring. Let's see, number 6, I'll even name a female. Francesca Cini. She is not like another woman. She gets in the ring and will hit you just like my wife, just as hard as a man. Because she's like, yo, get in the ring, let's have some fun. Number 5, we'll go with, Cole Reeves. I like him as well, even though I've beat him so many times. Number 4, we'll go with Tony Jamie. I'm definitely going over because if I'm going to be actually on 3 would be J.M. Ruthless. He's one of my other really close friends when we traveled together. Number 2, Ace Marksman. He is somebody that he's given me so much in the business, in New Jersey especially, showing people what I can do, and he trusts me enough to carry of his titles. What am I at? Am I at number 2 now?
Number 2, I believe.
Yeah, I think I'm at number 2. This will actually be 2 people, so sorry, people. It's going to be Riley Daniels, and also, he's been on WCW. His name is Metz. Not the Menace, Metz. He was the guy here with the mask on and just the dancing that was very, you know, very different. Number 1 would be, it's also going to be 2 people. It'll be Bonifer and also my trainer, Joe Acasio. Those are my thoughts. I know I added in 2 people, but you know what? Sue me.
All right, I love that, and I love that you gave a list of your favorite people to work with. Love that. With your face paint, what was the idea behind it? And also, the painting half of your face is something different. Not too many guys do. How did you decide to do that?
Have you ever heard of a horror movie called Trick or Treat?
Yes.
Sam is the pumpkin demon. I was married on Halloween. Some people can know that. And if people know who Jekyll and Hyde is, Jekyll had a very nice face, very, you know, very very good looking person. And then once he drank the potion, he became Hyde. Hyde was a disfigured beast. So on the other side, you will see that side, that is Spiral, that is Hyde. When he is awoken, you see that side. He's not pretty, he's not handsome. He's not somebody that wants to look at, but The thing is, with that face paint, it brings him out and it makes him comfortable to be able to showcase of who he is, because he's always hidden in the shadows. And that's one, that's the main reason why I do it. And then the pumpkin look is because I love Trick or Treat.
I like that. Like I said, it's really different, so I love the uniqueness about it, for sure. What is the best advice you like to give to a talent that you train? And then what is the best advice you have had given to you?
Let's see. All of my students will tell you the same thing if you ever interview them. They will tell you the first moment when they walk in the door to wherever I train them, I am a hard ass. Sorry that I'm using, you know, that word, but I will train you to the point where, like, how I was trained. My first rule, as soon as you step in the ring, is that you wipe your feet. If you do not wipe your feet, I will tell you to leave. Because you wipe your feet, that is giving the respect to all the people that come in. Then I sit there and I tell them about learning the basics. Get the basics down, and you'll become great. Then it's paying your dues. Like how you were saying before, show up and set up the ring. Set up whatever you need. Share the flyers. Go around and post up flyers. Do whatever you have to do. The way I teach you is to get you ready to be on shows, to make money. Because in this business, that's what we want to do. We want to make money and we want to entertain. That's why if you watch, like, Jeremiah Trix, he's one of my top students right now. That kid, from the, I met him when he was 16 years old, he started training with me. And that kid is getting better by the day. He was sitting there, and I wasn't his only trainer. Also, Riley Daniels, JM Ruthless, Menace. We have all sat there with this kid, and we developed who he is. He is literally a little beast. He's only 5'5", but that kid will literally take you and throw you across the room because he listens and he knows what he has to do. So the main thing I would tell you also is just, it's an old saying, it's eyes and ears open, your mouth is shut. You listen to whatever the trainer has to tell you. And there will always be somebody that can teach you more than, you know, like, I can't teach you everything in wrestling because I don't know everything. Because every day I'm still learning. Every day I'm still paying my dues. I'm 13 years in, and I will still be that guy that will show up, set up the ring, break down the ring, set up chairs, set up tables. I'll sit there and ref. I'll run the merch. I'll run the DJ booth. It does not matter. And that's one. That's the main thing that I would tell you to do if you really want to make it in this business, is avoid the drama. Just do whatever you have to do to really want this. And that'll bring me also back to when you get to the ring. I will put you through a test. As soon as you step in the ring, and I will ask you to shut your eyes, and I will tell you, tell me what you feel. And if you don't feel the butterflies in your stomach, you don't feel like you're, you know, that it's the best feeling in the world, like, you know, sitting there waking up in the morning and having, like, your favorite cereal or, you know, having a coffee, and you tell me, I feel okay, get out. You do not belong in this business because you need those butterflies. Because once your music hits, you walk out, you feel those butterflies. You feel the crowd either booing you or cheering you. It's the best feeling in the world. There is nothing like it. And it's, I don't know, it's like a drug. You need it. You want it. You crave it.
Yes, for sure. Like, that was some great advice right there. And I love that you took the time to explain, like, why, you know, why you, and how you train, with, like, what you expect. I love that. Do you have any interesting GTS backstage stories you would be able to tell?
Like what? Like ones that I would want to be involved in?
Just, like, any stories you would be able to?
Honestly, I would like to, I know people are going to say, ew, why? But I want to work Gargantuan. I want to be involved in a storyline with him because I feel I can really make that guy better. And then I would want to be involved in, like, a backstage type thing. I wouldn't mind sitting there, you know, helping out the guy, sitting there develop their characters, run the camera, you know, sit there on top of the scaffold and look over and record. It doesn't bother me. I'm there to do whatever I have to do. But the main thing I really want to do is, yes, I would love to work Bale, but I want to work Gargantuan, because you know what? That whole thing about who's getting guarded, I will get guarded. He'll get guarded.
I love it. I love it. And I'm not really a great fan of Garg, but I like the who got Garg. I like that. So don't take this personally from me, but what were your thoughts? Because I don't like when Grimm calls you this, but what were your thoughts when Grimm started to call you the Human Thumb? Who came up with the idea? Was it just something he came up on the fly?
It's something he came up with on the fly because I have a lot of scars in my head. So I shaved my head. It's also a good luck thing. People say, hey, you look like a thumb. Okay, and then when he sits there and he starts calling me Human Thumb, oh, you're cross-eyed. Because Grimm has to sit there and pick on people to do that, whenever they're not his friends. Like, everybody, like Trash Bale, how he calls Ace Marksman, freaking Trashman, or whatever, because he's always not original. Jungle, you know, he makes fun of Jungle Jim, he makes fun of everybody. Dooflop, his own brother. But then when his brother is all nice to him, it's, oh, this is my best friend, this is my brother, Doohop. What is it, Grimm? Is it because you're jealous? And that's why I call him Crybaby Grimm, because that's all he does is cry. Oh, you're tribal chef. Come on, Roman Reigns, grow up.
Exactly. He likes so much all his parody stuff that he does, and like the, oh, I'm, you know, like you said, the Fat Fiend or Fit Fiend and the tribal chef, and you know, he thinks he's John Cena all the time, and oh my gosh, it gets old, like it really does. And it's like, Grimm, get over yourself. What are some of your goals in the wrestling business in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I would love to be either... I know everybody's goal is to make it to WWE. Mine is not. Mine is to either make it New Japan or AEW. That's where I want to be, because I feel that they allow you to be you. They allow you to be who you want to be. Even if they want to change up my gimmick and be like, hey, you know, you're more like this. They're treated so much different, AEW especially. The way Tony Khan just, like, all he's about is about the guys and the girls in the back. New Japan, because I love Japan, I would love to bring my wife with me, go there, wrestle there forever. I would love to be like Kenny Omega. That guy walks the street, and he's a god. In WWE, it's nothing for me. I don't like the fact that, you know, like, I know a lot of those guys. I've been on a lot of shows with those guys, and seeing them in WWE is sad to me because they're not who they are. Like, top one, Ricochet. I've been on so many shows with him. He's not Ricochet. He's just some guy that they throw around, and that guy is strong, and he knows how to talk. Apollo Crews, you know, he's another one. Wuha Nation is what I knew him as. Nice guy. Let them be who they want to be. Matt Riddle is a joke now. He's not Riddle. He's Matt Riddle. And they're like, no, because, you know, the fans want to call him just Riddle. No, because the guys in the back can't remember to put Matt in front of it.
Exactly. That's so true. And with your goals, I wish you the best on accomplishing those, and I'm sure that will happen for you. And I definitely hope it will. Who would be your dream opponent? What type of match would it be? And where would the location or venue be?
That would be my idol, and that was the guy who was my number one, and that is Ken Shamrock. I would love a Lion's Den match with Ken Shamrock. Man, if I could, it would be in New Jersey, of course, in Freehold, because that's where I am. And I would just love that type of match. And it's not a real a wrestling match, it's a fight. And that's who Ken Shamrock was to me. Like, watching him when I was a kid, it was just so, it was so many different. He wasn't the biggest, he wasn't, you know, the strongest, but he was the baddest. He got in the ring and showed you why he was the world's most dangerous man. He was also a big inspiration because he was bullied when he was a child, and so was I. And he made me want to get into, like, martial arts, wrestling. So, and the Lion's Den match when he had it with Owen Hart, with Dan B. Severn as the referee. Ooh, I'm old. Watching that, that was my one of my top matches. That's what I would love to do with Ken Shamrock.
That would be awesome. That would be, I'm sure that would be a great match, too, and a great fight. Any upcoming shows you would like to promote?
I can't release the date yet, but it'll definitely be, I can't even say the month, but LPW will be having a show coming up. It'll be called Danimania. You guys will see that soon. But then you also have October 7th, LPW returns to the Carnival. That one's going to be a really big show. You have Shore Star Wrestling, the camp. That one is coming up July 20-something. Then you have UWC celebrating its 200th show. That'll be on the 24th of June. I'll be a part of that. And honestly, just whatever shows are around, just, you know, support them.
Jeff.
Go out there. Support the wrestlers, and yeah, that's all I really got for, like, a lot of the shows that, like, you know, I really wanted to, like, plug in. And also be sure to tune in every time that I post up on Twitter, because I know people are watching it, people are on my Twitter. Watch for the LTW episodes. Keep watching those. Those ones are, I put over LTW so much, not because I'm their champion, you know, their underground champion. It's because they are my family. Every single girl, every single guy in that locker room, I will fight for, because they will fight for me. They are not, I don't know how to put it, they are not like the, like other federations that I've been a part of. They are the ones where, like, I walk in, I put on my gear, I wrestle, I take off my gear, I go home. After we're done with LTW, we sit there, we hang out. I talk to them on a daily basis, whatever. And just, it's a very welcoming. It's a very, that's why I would always say to people, they go, who do you represent? It's LTW. I represent black and yellow for a reason, because they are my family, and they're not fake.
There you have it. And I definitely encourage all the fans to get out and support all the wrestlers at the at these shows. Get out and support Spiral, and get out and support Lawrence Spiral. Get out and support all the wrestlers on the show. Support indie wrestling wherever you are in the world, wherever you are in the United States. Get out to these shows. Watch on YouTube. Watch LTW on YouTube. Get out and support indie wrestling. Support wrestlers. They put their bodies on the line for us, so fans, get out and watch them, go support them, to spend your hard-earned money watching great wrestling. How can fans find you on social media, Lawrence?
You can find me on Twitter at Lawrence_Spiral. You can find me on Facebook, Lawrence Spiral with two L's, because Spiral's not a real last name, stupid. Instagram, all one word, Lawrence Spiral. You can find me on YouTube, at the real Lawrence Spiral. You can also catch me on LTW Live. You can see me on GTS. You can sit there and you can pop up on my Twitter and sit there and go, hey, Spiral, hey, Human Thumb, call me whatever you want, because you know what? You're still sitting there giving me what I want, and that is a like. That is a view. So you can catch me on all of those social medias. And honestly, if you want, you can even go on Twitch. Scorpio Spiral. Yes, I like to play games. Sorry, I'm a nerd.
I like the game too, for sure. Alright fans, go and follow Lawrence on all of his social media. Go give him a follow, go give him a like, go check him out on all social media platforms. Any merch that you have that fans can get, any Lawrence Spiral merch?
I get the Pro Wrestling Tees, the Jekyll Lawrence Spiral. Also support Eris, Strange and Unusual Eris Spiral. We have shirts. We have 8x10s coming soon. We have more merch coming out. We have hoodies coming out. We have beanies, we have snapbacks coming, stickers. We're trying to get all this stuff gearing up soon. Just, you know, times are tough. But once we get it all up, it'll be all up on the store. Get all your merch that you can. And if you want, when you come to a show, buy an 8x10, buy a shirt. Give me money. I'm poor.
go support them. Go get them some money. Go get yourself some Lawrence Spiral and an Aeris Spiral merch. And fans, I definitely encourage you to go, if you're at a show, go up to the merch table and get some merch from that way as well. How can promoters contact you for their next show?
How can they contact me?
Yes.
You can sit there and you can, your best way to do it, I do not answer fans. I do not answer them in through pirate messages. I don't believe in that or whatever. So you can go on Twitter and you can tweet me and I will tell you where to go.
All right, there you go. Well, I'd definitely like to, Lawrence, thank you for coming on the show, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, definitely, man. Thank you. And maybe next time you can get Aeris on here, and I'll also put you through all the people that I know, and I'll think, hey, go sit there and go on the final Count podcast. You know, sit there. The kid will talk to you. Kid gets a lot of views. Why not? So I'm going to try and talk to some people from GTS. I'm going to try and talk to people from LTW, UWC, Delta Wrestling Alliance. Wherever I go, I will sit there and put you over so you can get more views and more people to sit there and interview.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
You're very welcome.
Bye. There you have it, fans. That is my interview with the Jekyll Lawrence Spiral. But right now, I want to thank the Jekyll Lawrence Spiral for coming on this week's episode of The Final Count. And right now, I want to announce the guests for the next episode of The Final Count. On the next episode of The Final Count, my guests will be former OVW manager. You've seen him on WWE under the name Lamont as the manager for Ernest the Cat Miller. And in OVW, he went by the name of Morris in Bowling Services. And then Mo Green of Mo Money Associates in OVW as well. Yes, that's right. Mo Green, Morris, Lamont will be right here on The Final Count on the next episode of The Final Count. Come back and join us. And as I say every week, we will see you down the road.